PacificBeerChat.com.
This is the third and final episode of Chelsea and my trip to the Kootenays. In this episode, we talked to Trail Beer Refinery, located in Trail. We started off talking about their first batch of beer, and it just starts right away. Cheers.
Like drinkers can sort of relate to, and then we can sort of pull them along and try different styles.
Yeah.
But what we did is, our first batch, we had a setting went wrong in our fermenter, and it was way colder than it was supposed to be. We actually brewed 50 hectoliters, and when we transferred over the bright tank, there's 31 over. So we thought we did some math calculations wrong. We're pulling all the brew sheets, and how do you just miss 2,000 liters of beer? So the brew master was just going nuts, going over everything, like, does not make sense.
Yeah.
And we opened up the fermenter, ice everywhere. It's like, oh, it froze, like, literally 2,000 liters.
Yeah.
Oh.
And it's like, oh, God, this is, like, the worst mistake ever. And then we tasted it, and it's actually pretty smooth. We had to get it retested. The 5% turned into 7%. We had to send we couldn't use normal testing for it, so we had to send it to another brewery to do proper testing to see what it was. And people love it. And it's kind of a good story. It's an ice beer. You know, like Molson spent millions back in the 90s trying to create ice beer. We did it by accident, first batch. We have no idea how to do it again, though.
Yeah.
So our brewmaster figures he's going to try to do something to just kind of replicate it. So that's the one. Trail Ale. This one is basically an amber ale. Unfiltered. I think we had to filter that one a little bit just because of a bit of a mess up. We're still sort of learning the ropes, but our goal is to make that one unfiltered, where the lager will be filtered. And it's just a bit of a malty, easy drinking ale. I guess just sort of pulling people into a lot of people that don't drink beer, that seems to be their go-to. And it's working good. Then the other two, we have a Hefeweizen that we just pulled out last week, just a German style. Hefeweizen, and really happy with that one. That was a really, really good beer, and we call it Holy Hef, and it's just basically couldn't call him a name for it.
Yeah,
and just one of the staff members was just like some in conversations were like Holy Hef, and like, hey, perfect, that's the name.
Yeah,
so Holy Hefeweizen, and then the other one's a red IPA. This one actually isn't brewed here.
Oh, okay.
Our brewmaster. We share with Highway 97 in Penticton.
Oh, okay.
So he comes back and forth. Oh. So he brewed that in Highway 97, and we brought it over here.
Because I actually live in Summerland, so I know Highway 97.
Yeah. So we're sort of sharing him. He's coming back and forth.
Yeah.
He's coming Sunday, and they've got some work to do on Monday. So.
Oh, I did not know that.
Yeah. So he actually came from Mill Street.
Yeah.
And he's a young kid, Andrew, awesome. Knows his stuff. And he's actually, my wife Sherry is learning how to brew. She took a course from Siebel Institute.
Oh, yeah.
And yeah, so she's sort of learning the ropes, and Andrew's, so they're brewing together.
Nice.
And so we're only open since March 25th, so we're still learning. It's a big learning curve.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
All right, yeah, so like you just said, you just opened on May 25th. So
March 25th.
March 20th.
Yep.
Wrote that wrong. March 25th. So you're very new.
Yes.
I guess let's just start from the beginning. What got you into craft beer? And what's your position with the brewery?
Okay, so what got me into craft beer? Really, I wanted to get a brewery started for 10 years. Sort of way before the craft scene even started, right? I always thought Trail Ale would be a great name for a beer.
Yeah, for sure.
And but the timing really wasn't right. I sort of did some business plans on it, and I'm an accountant. And actually teach business at a college. And anyway, just sort of the back of my head, my mind, I just wanted to get a brewery going. But then as the craft beer sort of took off, you know, just going to some of the Vancouver crafts, the timing is now looking good. This could actually happen. And then about a year before we opened, I was in Kelowna and met a guy who owned a brewery there. And he was sort of a part-time marketing instructor at Okanagan College. And he sort of just gave me some of the tips and some contacts to start this whole process, and we said, you know, this actually might be doable.
Yeah.
So I've never brewed beer. I'm not, I like the business side of it. I don't know how to brew it. I like the tasting it. So, but I know how to put companies together. So when I came back from that trip with a bit of a business plan, I put together a team of all the different people that we'd need to put this together. But this used to be a Sears. We completely renovated this whole thing. In 1 year, we went from, let's build a brewery, to totally gutting this place, building like a full-on, like learning how to navigate all of the government bureaucracy, which is, wow.
Yeah, it's pretty difficult. Yeah.
And, you know, if I could build a second brewery, you know, I think I could write a book on, like, it's amazing. And being an accountant, I don't know how people that aren't accountants can figure that stuff out. Like, it's insane. But anyways, it's been an unbelievable process, and we wanted to build something. Our vision statement is to build a brewery that makes Trail proud. Everything we do was trying to make a special place for the citizens of Trail, some place to come to. They can try craft beer. We have kids are allowed with their parents here, so it's just a big fun atmosphere. People are sitting together with people who they don't know, and we also have good food here too. We thought that was really important. To make the atmosphere, and so
it's more of a brew pub, right?
Yeah, you know, you probably when you think about compared to a lot of the,
it's not just having some breadsticks and pepperoni.
Exactly. And stuff. Yeah. Oh yeah, we're way beyond food. That. Yeah.
I heard you guys have a bocce court too.
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
So Trail is very, very a large Italian community. So bocce is a thing in Trail. So if you're in Trail at a bocce pit, you know you get it instantly.
Yeah.
The problem is, we're so busy that it turns into overflow seating, so we barely ever get to use it. Oh. So it seemed like a good idea when we were building it, but the reality is we're so packed all the time that Sunday afternoon is about the only time you can actually use it.
When you guys aren't open yet, you can play.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I guess, are you originally from Trail then?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that's obviously why you wanted to open up a brewery here then,
And we have 13 partners in this thing.
Okay.
So it's way more than just me. Like, we've got the dream team.
Yeah.
Right. I'm probably the weakest link in this whole thing.
I guess I'm what do you know what size the brewery is?
Yep. We have a 25 hectoliter brew house.
That's a pretty good size.
Yeah. We went big. Well, when I did my research in Vancouver, we toured, I don't know how many breweries, and try to glean some information. And every single one that we went to, we're like, yeah, we're expanding. We want to expand, but we don't have room.
Yeah.
That was like right across the board. So I said, you know what? I'm going to bypass that. I'm going to go, you know, beyond their expansion. I want to start with their double expansion.
Yeah.
Right, so, and we had the room, so we went 25 hec, and if you see, we have two 100 hectoliter fermenters.
Damn.
So, yeah, like, because we figured that we want to be full production brewery.
Yeah.
And then we have a smaller 25 hec fermenter, so we'll probably get a couple of those. So, you know, the big beers that are sort of more broad appeal, we'll try to do in production, and we'll have a lot of different experimental things and smaller ones. And we've had a few people from other breweries tour when we're building it, and I just remember the look on their face, they're the size of equipment. They're like, they give me the look that you guys are either like geniuses or the dumbest people I've ever seen.
Yeah.
I'm not too sure which one we are yet.
Yeah.
We'll find out a couple years from now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Huh. You never know until you try, right?
Yeah, exactly.
There had been sort of a U-Brew Trail brewery back in the day, but there hasn't been a brewery here for quite a while.
No,
so
no.
What's the support been like? It looks busy right now for sure. Nuts. Jeez.
This is normal.
Nice.
This is like this Tuesday.
Really?
And Trail, we have lineups. Trail's never had lineups. So we've completely revitalized this area of the town. And there's a bunch of other bars and restaurants that are expanding and say, hey, let's put some money and make this thing nice. And so it's really increased the confidence of Trail.
Mm-hmm.
And,
that's awesome,
And the support has been phenomenal.
So I know I haven't spent a lot of time in Trail myself. I'm not very familiar. But, I mean, I'm from Vancouver, so it's usually just you're kind of driving through on a holiday or something.
And, we've had people... That's a good compliment. They come in and they're like, you know what? You put this in Vancouver and it's still kind of cool. Like, it's like it doesn't sort of fit in this really small town thing, right?
So. But, I mean, it seems to because you're full, right? So it's working.
Yeah.
Well, with so many breweries that are in the province, you're talking about if you put your brewery into Vancouver. So what do you think is Trail Refinery's special little niche? Have you found that yet? Or are you aiming towards one?
I think our niche is we're from Trail. So we're trying to win the trail market, right? Yeah. In this area.
Yeah.
So I think that gives a competitive advantage because we're trying to be an industrial brand. Mm-hmm. We're blue collar, but blue collar classy, you know, and that's what we're trying to be, clean. You look around, you see the metal, you see the wood, the barn wood that we reclaimed the brick along the kitchen. Yeah. And, you know, everything from our logo, everything sort of that industrial, clean brand.
Yeah,
and,
sure.
And we're not trying to be crazy experimental craft where I think a lot of Vancouver, they sort of have to, right? There's so many different breweries, you got to be, something different.
Yeah, exactly.
Us, we can just go back to the basics here. And for a lot of people, this is the first time they've even tried craft beer.
Yeah, for sure.
I think we're going to grow along with our customers.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have a canning line, and we hope to get beer all over the place. So, we're just going to wing it.
You're staying true to your roots and not stretching too far out.
Yeah, exactly.
But you're going to see where that takes you, I guess.
I figure if we can win trail, then we can start expanding up.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. I kind of like it. Like, we're just over at Rosalind, and because they got the ski hill right in view basically from their place, they got the ski goggles as part of their logo.
Just down
the street, you've got that refinery right up on the hill, right?
Yeah.
So why not make that part of your brand?
Exactly.
I mean, it looks like it's the centerpiece of the town, really.
Yeah.
I mean, and you can see from right here is that.
Well, you know, so Tech, you know, used to be called Cominco.
Yeah.
They've got a silver refinery and a lead refinery. So everyone in town, when we said we're opening a beer refinery, is like, they get it, right? If you're not from the area, you're like, oh, that's kind of cool. But from this area, it means something.
Yeah, well, right? For sure. It's
like
obvious.
Half the town works in, you know, a refinery. So when we have the beer refinery, it's just like perfect.
The other half probably supports the refinery.
Yeah, exactly. But if you're a beer refinery, it's a bit better than, you know, a lead refinery.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Let's refine the water.
Yeah.
I guess one of the things is, do you think there's more room for some local breweries right in this area?
I think so. Like, Nelson's got, what, 4?
Yeah. It's amazing, isn't it?
Yeah. So, so I think there's room. I mean, I think you got to find the special niche.
Yeah, for sure.
But you know, one interesting thing is, I take a look at the liquor stores in this area, and it's Budweiser, right? Kokanee.
Yeah.
Molson's, right? Everywhere, and then you got a little cross section. I was just in Ontario, in Ottawa. I think Budweiser just got pushed out of the province. Like, all you see is craft.
Yeah.
Like, that's just normal.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's getting that way in Vancouver, too, right?
Yeah.
And it's just, it's going to be a slow creep, I think.
Yeah.
I mean, with the amount of breweries in Vancouver, right? There's just such
a lot of competition.
So much competition, but also, it's everywhere you go is craft beer.
Yeah.
When you're in a small town, further out, there's a lot of big beer, and if there's not been a brewery in your town, you don't even know about it, right?
And that's why we're coming in with a brand or a lager that's a better Budweiser type of thing. If you right, like most craft breweries don't brew lagers, like, you know, or not most, but a lot.
Yeah,
you know, right? They're thinking
it's starting to pick up, but it used to be that way.
But if we didn't do that, we wouldn't be able, like, 3/4 of the people, that's what they're used to drinking. So, you know, a lot of people there say, well, all I drink is Budweiser. So, like, try the Silver City Lager. And then they try it, like, oh, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, yeah, I want that.
Yeah.
But if it was a big IPA or something that they're not used to, they'd be like, no, don't like it.
Yeah. You could probably throw a Blonde Ale out there and say, this will be similar to what you're used to.
And that's what we want
to
do, right? Push it along, and then they're like, now we have people try this Hefeweizen that would have never tried it. And like, 4 days ago, usually it's the lagers are biggest seller. 4 days ago, it was won the day.
Interesting.
So I was like, this is
great. You're pushing the flavor slowly.
Yeah.
And not
exactly.
In people's faces.
Exactly.
But
just try it out.
Yeah, you're not scaring them off. Cool. So out of all the beers that you're brewing right now, is there one that's your personal favorite? Or?
I love the Hef right now.
Yeah?
That's my favorite. and we do need to try our own IPA. I have a name for it already. It's ready to. It was going to formulate the recipe, so that'll be coming soon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And in the winter, if you look around, so at Tech, you have a lot of the byproduct of the smelting is these slag, black slag heaps. So I'm going to create a really dark
beer stout and we'll call it slag stout.
That totally makes like, sense. Yeah.
Yeah, it's like, you know, we're not trying to be glacier fresh water or whatever. Like, this is slag stout.
Well, it'll look like slag, right? Yeah. So it's perfect. Yeah. So, I mean, what town was that we drove through?
Greenwood.
Greenwood, where it has that old smokestack, and it's just, I guess, probably slag piles in the back. And
You go to Christina Lake and play their golf courses, their bunkers are slag. Black.
Oh, really?
It's cool. And actually, the best to hit up. It's unbelievable. It rains. It's better than regular sand.
Nice.
But it's black. It's like, they just use dump slag from tech.
Yeah.
Years and years ago.
Yeah.
So I think that's going to be a good one. So.
Yeah. So again, you're really staying true to your roots.
Exactly.
And staying true to the people that are going to support you. And
yeah, we're not trying to pretend to be anything different than we're hardworking. You know, our sort of tagline is work hard play hard.
Yeah.
And that's
for
sort
sure.
of thing, right? You're going to work, you're going to an outdoors or an outdoors area, then you come in to the refinery and have a cup of beer.
Totally makes sense. Mm-hmm. I guess outside of what you guys brew, what's your favorite beer style or
me?
Yeah, just, or it doesn't have to be local either. It could be internationally.
I do like stouts. Right? I like darker stouts, and I do like a good ESB. So I'd like to try something like that.
Yeah, no, I love a good ESB,
And Andrew actually brewed one from Highway 97, brought it in. So we might try to get him to brew something like that here. Last summer I was in Quebec for a little bit, and I really got into a lot of the Belgian style beers over there.
I love Belgian style beers.
The Unibrew, the Fin de Mont, and the Trois Cristal, and so we can try something like that one day.
That'd be awesome.
You have to work your clientele here into that though a little bit, hey, I guess.
Oh, yeah. We're going to pull them along, right? Refine their tastes.
Yeah. Oh, there you go. Oh,
nice. I'm from Vancouver. She's from the Okanagan. What is the beer scene here in the Kootenays like? Because we really don't know. I mean, I know the breweries. I've been to most of them, other than the couple that have popped up in the last year or so. But though I stop in, I don't really know the scene.
The scene, it really, in Trail, the scene was Budweiser. Like, there was no scene.
Yeah.
Rosin really started to break that mold, right, and created something here. And those guys are awesome.
Yeah,
and I love their beer. I love their brewery. The guys are unreal. And, Nelson's been here forever, but they've got their own sort of unique...
Yeah, and they don't have a tasting room, it kind of changes it. Yeah. Even though it's local, you don't have that connection you would with your local tasting room.
Yeah, and then Nelson and Trail are quite different. We're an hour apart, but it's quite different environment. So it's very weird, like, just sort of breaking ground with...
You're working on the people that weren't ready for craft, maybe.
Yeah, for sure.
And if you take a look around, people's drinking wine in there. That's all right. They're still
slowly working, man. Right?
Let's try it.
Like the Vancouver scene is very condensed.
Yes.
The Penticton or Kelowna scene, very condensed. The Kootenay scene spread out over a massive area with some really cool breweries, and it's neat that it's got its own identity, even though it's so spread out. Because most places, the identity is really condensed to, like, Vancouver. Even neighborhoods have different identities for their breweries, right?
Yeah.
So it's amazing that there seems to be an identity out here.
Yeah. Yeah, and we're sort of creating it, right? And that's why I think you got to be authentic to who you are, your community, and not try to be something. Yeah, just be real.
Yeah, for sure.
So what are the next kind of big steps, I guess, for your brewery? It sounds like your wife is hopefully going to be doing some beer designing. Are you guys looking at anything else as far as just Trail and integrating into the community, or?
We wanted to start doing some events too. Like, I really want to get like an Oktoberfest going. I want to invite all the breweries, from Nelson and Roslyn, and see if we can get something, a cool event. We got the downtown. We got a great area to do that kind of stuff. So that's something we want to do. Definitely, we want to get into the liquor stores and to get sort of expansion up there. Like, we've done a lot of growlers, and people that never had even heard of growler, and that's just trying to get them to have that beer at their house as well.
And know how to actually deal with the growler, because it's not your bottle of beer or your can of beer. Mm. Drink it fresh.
Yeah, exactly.
It's all new. A weird and exciting and new thing to most people when they've never seen it before.
Exactly.
I know it was for me years ago.
Yeah.
But I mean, as it expands, right?
Yeah, and it's fun when you get right, you can see the tanks that it's sitting in, and so, yeah.
Yeah, and that's a big thing, especially like with people to drink Molson or Budweiser or whatever. There's no connection.
No.
You look at your can of beer, oh, cool, lifestyle. But then you come to a place like this, right, and you can meet the brewer, you can meet the people.
Yeah.
You get a connection to it, and it becomes part of the community. And
we're not trying to be, like, all slick marketing, right? Like, our marketing is just thinking of something. Hey, this is something cool we can post on Facebook.
Yeah.
There's no thought going into it, really. We're just kind of winging it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
You never find that authenticity is sort of, you know, your customers like that more than the big slick marketing campaign.
For sure.
Yeah.
Like we had some posts before we opened that had over 20,000 hits.
Wow.
Nice.
And like that's like more than double our town. We've got 6 people with our logo actually tattooed on them.
No way, really?
Before we opened, we did a big special. We had this big grand opening that if you got a tattoo, you got a VIP pass and a gift card. And we have 6 people that have the tattoo.
No way.
Damn.
One of them's in there. I'll show you.
No way. That was so cool.
And so they love the logo. It's trail. We got the bridges. We got the mountains here. We got the river. So it's...
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and the colors are really close to the Trail Smoke Eaters, which is iconic
hockey
team, right? They're the world champions in 1939 and 1961, and so it's sort of got that same feel.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so again, you're like kind of bringing in more of that local culture, right?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't even know that, although I don't know much about Trail back then.
Yeah.
I don't know much about the Kootenai back then. It's kind of pre my time. I guess... People are coming to the brewery, but what else can draw people from outside of Trail or the Kootenays here? Like, what do we have in Trail outsiders? Yeah.
Well, like, it's unbelievable.
People got to come for more than just the beer. For some people, like me, I'm here for beer.
Yeah.
But that's not everyone, right?
But so, I mean, a lot of people come for other things than they end with the beer, right?
Oh, exactly,
so
yeah.
We've got Unreal Golf Course. So we have Birchbank Golf Course right along the river. And we have Redstone up in Roslyn, which, by the way, we've got our kegs are going through like a keg every 4 days. This is going great.
That's not bad at all, yeah.
So phenomenal mountain golf. Mountain biking trail is like the best. And unbelievable ski hill, cross country, downhill skiing, fishing. Mm-hmm. So it's really an outdoor, you know, type of thing. If you don't come here for the art scene.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
True enough.
Right?
True.
You come here for sports, for outdoors, and beer.
Mm-hmm.
You can't go wrong there.
Yeah.
Not at all. I guess, do you have any exciting projects or events on the horizon other than your possible Oktoberfest? Like,
you know what? Right now we're just trying to keep our head up above water because we thought we, you know, with Facebook, etc., before we opened, we thought we sort of nailed it, but it's just every day. It's just like, boom.
Yeah.
Just trying. Like, we want to get open for lunch. We don't, we can't even, we're open at 3 o'clock because we just don't have the full staff. We want to make sure people are have a great experience when they come in here. So there's all these little just operational things that we need to nail down.
Yeah, for
sure.
And
then, you know, and we're just starting to get our kegs and some other... bars and restaurants, and so that's just another thing we need to sort of expand upon and just keep on, you know, growing.
For sure. I guess, let's touch on that. What are your hours then?
Right now, 3 till 9. We close at 9 o'clock.
Is that 7 days a week? Or?
No. Or so, 3 till 9, Tuesday till Saturday.
Okay.
Sunday's 12 till 5, and right now Monday's closed.
Okay.
We want to be full 7 days a week, but... We don't want to burn out our staff.
Oh no, for sure.
And you take a look how crazy it is.
Yeah,
yeah.
It's busy full on, here. Boom. So by 9 o'clock, so like everyone's just dead tired. So like a lot of our customers want us to stay open later, but we can't do it.
It's a staffing issue more than a demand issue.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Yeah. So it sounds like the thirst was here before you guys got here. They just didn't know they were thirsty for you yet.
Exactly. And the thing is, to be honest, by having those hours, it gets people in here early. So
true enough.
That is true.
So. You know, they're coming down for dinner at 4:30 or 5, so they get a seat.
Yeah.
And then, so instead of coming at, you know, 7, so I think it just shifts everybody's...
That's for
and
sure.
And their staff's happy because a lot of them came from, you know, bars that you know, they're there till 1 in the morning, and they're like, it's 9 o'clock, and we're done.
Yeah. Now they can go get rowdy somewhere else if they want to, right?
And you know what, it helps. When we first opened, I think it still is, a couple of the bars busier than they ever have been.
Yeah.
Because people come down with a lineup, or we close at 9, and they go, so we're helping other the community
yeah.
too.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
we're happy to do that.
That's awesome. I mean, I remember I was in the Sunshine Coast, and between Persephone Brewing and the new Gibson's Tap Works, I forget which one it was, but one of them closed earlier. So they would actually tell people that they could go to the other one if they wanted to continue drinking.
Yeah.
So they actually, they were working to help each other out.
And it's weird, you'd think that it'd be big competitors, but it actually helps.
Well, it's like that whole, I was just in Kelowna talking to the breweries there, and one of the brewers at B&A says, a rising tide lifts all boats.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it seems like a big thing about just the craft beer community in general. Another brewery isn't competition, another brewery is more people that want to drink more beer.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you know what? And they take it from Budweiser. Everyone's happy to do that.
Poor Bud.
Yeah. Poor multinational, like, terrible corporation.
Yeah.
I guess we haven't touched on it. What do you guys serve for food? Like, what are you making out of your kitchen
really,
there?
Really basic menu. So our biggest seller is the Refiner Burger. Just, it's huge. It comes with a big knife stuck right in the middle. It's awesome. We actually had to do a kitchen reno a month after we opened. Because they're like, we couldn't keep up.
Wow.
Like, okay, so we had to close for a week, and it's like, this is nuts. Pizza. So we got a meat lover's pizza. That's my favorite.
Nice.
And then we have like a charcuterie board with meat and cheeses. Awesome big pretzels to go good with the pizza. Some couple of really good salads. Okay. And our chef, Julie, comes up with the specials, like, on a regular basis. So it'd be pork chop, or it's like, it's just, the food
nice.
Is just, yeah, it's great.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, just a simple little menu.
That's awesome. With a place like this, you don't want a big, extensive menu.
No.
Otherwise, you gotta have a crazy big kitchen and even more bloody stuff.
We don't have the side, right? We want to leave rooms to put in more fermenters.
Exactly, and expand,
Yeah, we're a brewery, right?
So. No, exactly, brewery first, yeah.
Yeah.
You can always tell kind of which place is a brewery first and which is a kitchen first with a brewery attached.
Yeah, and you can, it's no doubt about it. When you walk in, you say, yeah, that's a brewery.
Oh, yeah, you see the big brewery, you can see all the cans stacked like crazy.
Isn't that cool? Yeah.
Absolutely. Are there any great beer fests or anything going on currently in the Kootenays that
you
guys enjoy?
Right,
you probably
grand.
Haven't been yet.
We've been to the one up at Red Mountain, and so our very first week that we opened.
Jeez.
And we won a silver medal.
Nice.
Oh, congratulations.
No, bronze.
Bronze? Doesn't matter. You want to know
more. Yeah, we're like, we don't know what we're doing. They show up. The beer, like, literally just got put in the bright tank like 3 days before.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay. Yeah.
That's the beer goggles?
The beer goggles,
yeah. The guys over at Rosslyn were telling us, because we asked them, what's the best festival? They said, oh, beer goggles, hands down.
It was fun.
So,
I was up there helping, yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm coming out next year.
Yeah. Yeah. So we went there. And so we haven't had a chance to go to other events, but we had to show up like, you know, we have nothing, like just a brochure thing, and we had like one beer.
Yeah.
Everyone else had three, a lot of the Vancouver breweries and all their slick stuff. And so my guy who built this place, the construction, Greg, he's like, he takes a look around, it's like, yeah, we could do something better than this. So he built, you should see the next beer thing we go to.
Yeah.
We have this big, huge bar that he's built. It's got the corrugated metal on it. A big metal logo. It's like built like a tank. We're gonna show up, and people are like, "Where do those guys come from?"
Yeah,
it gets cool.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Nice. Also, you always gotta have something, right, that catches someone's eye.
And then it's in a still industrial based, like it's your brand, right?
Well, you need to, yeah.
Big and it's just
the town, right? It's
an
industrial town. You need to have the industrial feel.
Yeah.
It wouldn't feel authentic if it wasn't. I don't think.
Exactly.
Is there anything else you'd like to kind of tell listeners about the brewery or?
You know what? We're trying to make it up as we go. You know, we're learning things every day.
Yeah.
And it's a real fun time. Like, you know, our flagship is right here, and we want to get our beer everywhere. Like, one day I want to have some cans in Vancouver. So when someone from Trails open and go to the liquor store and they see our beer there, they're like, oh, that's super cool.
Yeah, no doubt about
right?
it.
So, yeah.
How can they find your brewery online?
www.trailbeerrefinery.ca.
Okay.
And check us out on Facebook, so Trail Beer Refinery. We try to post regularly, and there's this cool stuff on there. You can go back and see the old videos, and you can see the tattoos. We're getting the tattoos.
It's so rad.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. Not a lot of those happening out
there. So we did the first video, and I was in there, but I put a sticker on my arm. And
You don't have the tattoo?
No. And it looked super real.
Yeah.
And that's when we said, here's the offer. And the thing just went through the roof with the post. And that's when we had, like, within, like, 2 hours, like, we had 10 people. We're in for the tattoo. And then when the first people, like, they're in the chair, and I had to come up, I had to come clean and said, mine was for 10. Like, you're really getting this. You're really, like, I didn't get one. But they still went through with it.
Nice. Well, you can get one later, right?
Yeah. I'm putting a lot of pressure on it. Yeah.
Funny.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, thanks for having us.
Yeah. And thanks, Mike.
Yeah.
It's great to check out new breweries, and it's always exciting because the scene just keeps growing.
Yeah, and it's super fun, right? All the people are fun. We're learning, learning so much about this.
I just love that there's no actual competitors in this industry, really. Yeah. You're all competitors, but you're basically all fighting against the big guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you're always helping each other out and kind of.
Exactly.
I mean, maybe in Vancouver, there's a little bit of market share kind of, pressure. But I mean, in Trail and Penticton and Rossland and all these small communities, it's just like people seem to be really thirsty for beer. Even in Kelowna, I found it interesting because now there's 5 breweries in Kelowna.
Yeah.
2.5 years ago, there was 2 breweries. There was Tree, and then there was Freddy's Brew Pub. Right?
Yeah.
And even the 5 now are not fighting for market share. They're still sharing the same.
I love
B&A. Yeah.
I think everyone does that's at it. Yeah.
B&A, there's Kettle River, now there's Boundary up by the airport.
Yeah, that's in that one, yeah.
They're doing
also
really
close
good.
To the university.
Tree Institute, they've been there.
Yeah, but it's just funny because it just seems like the more breweries that open, the more people, like, they all sell out of their beer. They're not fighting each other because they're all still selling out of their beer.
Yeah.
The day that nobody can sell a beer before it goes bad will be the day that there's a hard day in brewery.
Some of those see our system, I'm like, okay, you might have trouble selling out your beer once we get this thing going.
As long as you got a truck, you've got lots of customers in the Kootenays here. Even before you try to get out to Vancouver or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, there's lots of little towns.
Yeah, there's 50 different bars and restaurants that we can get a tap in.
Well, naturally, if you guys have a canning line in, too, because there's that outdoor lifestyle. If I'm going to go camping, I want to bring cans with me. So, like, just put all of your excess beer into campus. And
bottles break.
Yeah.
When the bottles break, they cut people.
That's where we went cans.
It's really smart, and I mean, if people are used to macro beer here and you're trying to convert them, they're probably used to cans anyways, right? I mean, personally, in craft beer, cans are awesome. They don't get light struck.
They chill
faster. Yep. They chill in a lake or whatever. But they don't break.
And it's cheaper to get into the can business.
And I mean, the caps on bottles leak oxygen and your beer will go bad faster. But it's a great move, and that's why there's mobile canning lines all over the place these days.
Yeah.
Because if you can't afford a full canning line, at least you can afford that.
Yeah, exactly. So, and that's a nice thing, right? Like, if you can get into 50 different places, and the sky's the limit, right?
Mm-hmm. For sure, yeah.
But we're just trying to have fun and learn it.
That's all you can do?
Yeah, at night, just have a beer and relax. It's great.
Yeah. Perfect. Cool. Well, thank you very much.
Thanks for coming in.
Oh, our pleasure. Yeah. Cheers.
Yeah. Well, thanks for coming by. That was great.
Yeah. Actually, that Hefeweizen is delicious. I can see why that's your favorite right now. That is an awesome beer.
Yeah, because you know what? That's probably our craftiest craft, right? The other ones we're trying to land.
Keeping a little bit lighter.
Yeah, exactly.
I can see that. That Hef was great. I really like that.
We hope you've enjoyed this episode, and we hope that you've checked out the rest of our episodes from the Kootenays. Please come back and listen to our future episodes. Thanks.
We hope you've enjoyed this episode. You can find us on Twitter and Instagram at Pacific Beer Chat or at pacificbeerchat.com. If you've enjoyed the episode, you can give us a review on iTunes. It'll help us get some more recognition. You can also find us on Google Play Music, Stitcher, and YouTube. If you'd like to, you can also give us some feedback at feedback@pacificbeerchat.com. Cheers.